Turn with me in your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of 1 John. We did a verse-by-verse examination of this book of 1 John about 5 years ago beginning, and it took us over a year to get through the book. And I have thoroughly enjoyed going back and revisiting some of the passages that we covered. We had not actually been in 1 John for some time because we had gone through the entire verse together as a congregation. But this morning I'd like you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to read our text, which is verses 14 and 15 from 1 John chapter 5. If you had trouble finding it, find the book of Revelation, and then just turn a few pages back towards your New Testament from Revelation, and you'll find yourself very quickly in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, and verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. Let us bow for prayer as we begin. Gracious Father, now as we look into Thy perfect Word, may Thy Spirit illumine our hearts by Thy truth. May You encourage us in this matter of prayer. May we be indeed a prayerful people, and may we be thankful that we indeed have access through Christ. Bless Thy Word to our hearts this day. Protect this congregation at all times from words after man's wisdom. Protect this congregation at all times from the slip of the tongue that a man may make. Father, may Your word go forth today, unhindered and blessed by Thee. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This book of 1 John is filled with the concept, the idea, the truth of assurance, and of things that are known or can be known. In fact, the words know, known, knoweth, confidence, and assurance are combined, found 34 times in this book of 1 John. There's a lot said about what we can know. In chapter 2, in verse 20, we read, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." And that word unction, a word that's actually only found twice in our New Testament here and in one other passage, it's a word that means an anointing. In other words, there is a special anointing from God that is placed on the believer that we can know these things. We have an unction from God and we know all things. The contrast to that is the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You find the unbeliever and the preaching of the gospel is to him foolishness. But to us which are called, it is the power of God unto salvation. There is an unction there. There is an anointing by the Holy Spirit from God the Father that allows us to know certain things. And that theme is found in this book. Coming specifically to this fifth chapter that we're considering this morning, look at verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. Verse 13, these things are written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Our text for this morning, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His word, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. Look at verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in darkness. Look at verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and life eternal. And so in this fifth chapter, we find this concept of knowing, of assurance, of having confidence in God repeated over and over again. And so, with that brief introduction, we find in verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him." And this word confidence is a marvelous word. It conveys far more when we begin to unpack it and dig into the word than we first see on the surface level. And that's the glorious thing about the Word of God. If we just read it casually and rush past words, we miss so much of what is there. This word confidence indicates an openness or a plainness of speech. It indicates a boldness in the way in which we speak. And it indicates a freedom to speak. We have freedom of speech with God. First of all, we find that our prayer is with plainness or openness because we have confidence in God. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 12, Paul, writing to the believers, says, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech." Paul said, we have this hope in Christ, and so we speak to you plainly about Him. But Paul used the same word confidence here in 1 John when he said we have plainness of speech. We do not need some special language in which to pray. Did you observe there as we read the Lord's Prayer this morning for our responsive reading, how simple it is? Mm-hmm. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." It's very simple. It's not in Latin. Mm-hmm. It's not some liturgy that has been memorized by a priest. It's not some fancy language. Believer, my father used to say, "Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees." Prayer is very plain. And a lot of times you encounter a young believer and they're afraid to pray when others can hear because they say, "I don't know what words to use." But how would you talk to your father? Do you know what words to use when you talk to a loved one? Talk to God in the same way. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed." There's not some special language. Because we have this access, we come to God in plainness, in common language. We bring our request before Him. We don't beat around the bush. We tell Him exactly what we need. And we don't pray in angel language either, as the charismatics would try to tell us they're doing. We come before God in simple, plain language. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The Gospel of John and chapter 16. And here Christ is teaching His disciples. In John chapter 16, I'll begin our scripture reading there in verse 23. John 16 and verse 23. Here Christ says in the 23rd verse of John 16, "In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hereto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in a proverb." Okay, a proverb is the opposite of plain speech. "I've spoken these things to you in a proverb, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I shall show you plainly," and that word plainly is the same word confidence that we have in 1 John, "I will show you plainly of the Father. And that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. Go on to verse 29. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speaketh no more in Proverbs. What is Christ saying here? Christ said, you used to pray through a priest. And the priest used special language. In the Old Testament, things were veiled. I've spoken to you in Proverbs, but I'm no longer going to speak to you in Proverbs. I'm going to speak to you plainly. And the context is of prayer. Verse 26, At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray for you, that I will pray the Father for you. Now there's several things here, we can't get into all of them, but Christ is saying, I'm not going to pray for you to the Father. He makes intercession, certainly. But he's saying, you're going to pray. You're going to use this openness of speech. If you go to a lot of churches today, oh, Saint so-and-so, pray for us. Oh, Mary, pray for us. No, Christ isn't even praying for us here. We're praying to the Father. And so the first thing we see in this word confidence is we come to God in plainness of speech. We speak to him in our language with plainness. It's not some special formula we need. We read of Christ in Colossians 2, verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. And that word openly is the same word confidence. He showed them openly. And so we go to God and we say, Lord, you know what things I have need of before I ask? And Lord, I don't know how to pray. I don't know in some special language, but you're not looking for a special language. I come before you and I pray in confidence. I pray in openness of speech before the Father. But this word confidence, this is the confidence we have in him, also is the word boldness. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. It's the same word confidence. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that ye may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If some great and important person walked in the room today, probably most of us would start stammering when we try to speak to him. Cat's got your tongue. How do I address this person? What do I say to this person? We're speaking to the creator of the universe. But we have boldness. We come before him with confidence. He's not going to look down on us. He's not going to cast us out. In fact, he delights to hear our voice. This is the confidence that we have in him. This is the boldness that we have before him. Ephesians 2, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And again in Acts 4, verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled and took knowledge of them. That they had been with Jesus. And that word boldness again is the same word confidence. These weren't men that were, they had never had freshman speech 101 and freshman speech 102. How many of you have? A few of you have probably taken freshman speech in college. They'd never had that class. They were fishermen. But they spoke with confidence because they knew what they were talking about. They spoke with boldness about the things of Christ. That is the way we come to Christ. But this word confidence also means freedom. It means freedom. Remember when Christ was crucified and the veil of the temple was rent? The way to the Holy of Holies was made open. We talked this morning in Sunday school about the difference between the Old Testament priests, the priests were taken from among men, the high priest, and that we now have a faithful high priest. The Son of God is our high priest. Well, in Hebrews 10, verse 19 and following, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We have freedom to speak to God. In the Old Testament saying, he had a priest through whom to pray. We have a high priest through whom to pray. And so we have freedom to go to God. And so the first thing we see here in our text is that we have confidence in him. We have boldness and openness. But notice who the confidence is in. And this is the confidence that we have in him. The confidence that we have in him. Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. The Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And chapter 4. And there we're going to look at just one verse. Deuteronomy 4 verse 7. For what nation is there so great who hath God so near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Some of you are still turning when I began reading, so let's read it again. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord, all caps, as Jehovah, our God, is in all things that we call upon him for? The Muslims don't have that. The Hindus don't have that. No false god is near to his people in all things that they call upon him for. And some will say, but wait, pastor, wait. No, that's Israel. No, pastor, that's Old Testament. You can't claim that verse. But we can. And I'll show you why. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Almost back to where you are in 1 John. 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. My friend, the promises to Israel in the Old Testament are promises to the church in the New Testament. He is near unto his church. What nation? We are the nation of God. Ye are a holy nation. We read there in 1 Peter. We are the people of God, and our God is near to hear us in all things that we call upon him for. And so the question is not, do you call upon God? The question is, do you call upon the right God?
Right.
Mm-hmm. For you see, the heathen pray.
Yes.
And we recently had another national prayer abomination breakfast. And God did not hear a single prayer that was uttered there. When my father was invited to attend with the American, as a representative of the American Council of Christian Churches, he declined. He would not go to a prayer meeting with Catholics and Muslims and everybody else that gathers there to cry, O Baal, hear us. This is the confidence that we have in him. And if you're calling on anyone else, you have no confidence.
That's right.
Because he is the one who hears and answers prayer. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit. Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Psalm 50, verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 145, 18, the Lord is nigh to all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And so if we find, first of all, that we have this confidence, we have boldness, we have freedom and access in prayer. Secondly, we find that our confidence is in him. It is in Jehovah God through his Son. But thirdly, we find from this text, if we ask anything according to his will. And notice that's not anything, as we say, but it is anything. And it is right that in our KJV, those two words are not jammed together. If we ask anything, and I realize it's a small difference, but there's a distinction there. If we ask anything according to his will. Turn with me to Isaiah 65. This is the verse that I read for our call to worship this morning. And we're going to look at it here, and we'll bring it back in again later in the message. Isaiah 65, verse 24. Isaiah 65, verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Those of you that are married can testify that your wife can finish your sentences. Or your husband, you start saying something and he knows exactly what you're saying. Now, sometimes husbands get it wrong, okay? Sometimes husbands get it wrong. But here, God declares, before they call, I will answer. Before they call, I will answer. The answer to our prayers are already on the way before we ask them. He knoweth what things we have need of before we ask. And while they're yet speaking, I will answer. And the context there, if you look up to verse 1, is I'm sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. He's talking about the Gentiles again. Okay? A nation that was not called by my name. Verse 18. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And the reference there to Jerusalem is to the new Jerusalem, which is found in Revelation, coming down as a bride prepared for Christ. And so, we ask him. And before we ask him, he answers. And while we're yet speaking, he hears. He knows what we're going to ask. There's an intimacy of relationship here. Our God knows the end from the beginning. I know I'm having to turn to a lot of passages this morning, but I want you to see these and have the opportunity to mark them. Turn with me to Luke 11. The 11th chapter of Luke. And we'll start there in verse 9. Luke 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him for a fish, or will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask him? Our heavenly Father gives good gifts. And the context here is of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's by the gift of the Holy Spirit that we had that unction that we found there in chapter 2, that anointing, that understanding. If you don't understand the scriptures, before you ask a man what it means, ask God through the Holy Spirit to show you what it means and compare scripture with scripture. But the portion of the text I want us to consider is this. If my son comes to me and says, Daddy, I'm hungry, I'm not going to give him a rock. I'm not going to give him a stone. If he says, boy, a fish sandwich sounds really good right now, I'm not going to give him a serpent. My great-grandmother used to eat rattlesnake, but that's beside the point. She used to get it in little tins like sardines and eat the stuff. But when our children ask us for that which we need, we do not give them a rock that's going to break their teeth. We do not give them a serpent that's going to bite them. When they ask for an egg, we give them a chicken egg or maybe a goose egg, but we don't give them a scorpion egg. We don't give them that which they open it up and a scorpion comes out and bites them. Baby scorpions bite worse than big scorpions, by the way. You see, if we know how to give good gifts to our children when they ask, how much more does our Heavenly Father say, ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And this is the confidence that we have in Him if we ask anything according to His will. And that's the fourth thing we find here. If we ask anything according to His will. Oh Lord, you know that I would just love to be a billionaire. Oh, how good and easy my life would be if I had a couple billion. Oh Lord, if I could just live in that big house on the hill. Oh, a shiny new Corvette. Oh, that position of fame and recognition. Oh, this job over here, boy, that would be a good one. No. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You see, we ask not for the things of this world. Give us this day our bread for the next month. No, that's not what the Lord's Prayer said. That simple model prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Meet our needs, Lord. Having food and raiment, therewith be content. This is not a blank check, folks. That's the way that the prosperity gospel, the name it and claim it gospel, tries to put it out there. Oh, yeah, you send me $100,000, or you send me even $1,000, and I'll cut the bum off my tie and send it to you, and all your prayers will be answered. There was actually one that said that. He was selling pieces of his ties. Don't know how many ties. I mean, I have a lot of ties, folks. You know, some women collect shoes. I collect ties. I probably have 100 different neckties, and I only wear about a dozen of them. But it's not a blank check. It's not a name it and claim it. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And folks, the greatest example that we'll ever find of praying according to God's will is found in Matthew chapter 26. Turn with me to the 26th chapter of Matthew. Here we find our Lord Jesus Christ in the greatest trial of trust that could ever be imagined. You see, praying according to God's will is a matter of trust. Lord, this is my will, but I trust your will. Lord, this is what I desire to happen, but I trust you to do what is best. That's what praying according to God's will is in a nutshell. Matthew 26, and I'll start reading in verse 38. And of course, this is Christ in the garden. Matthew 26, verse 38. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Folks, there's not a one of us that had a problem this big. There's not a one of us that have gone to God the Father in prayer with anything this crucial. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth him asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. You notice what's happening here. First, Christ prays, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. If I do not have to go through this greatest of trials, O Lord, if there's any other way, you gave Abraham a ram in the thicket. My Father, if there's any other way, if it's possible, give me another way. The second time, the prayer is a little altered. Oh, Father, if this cup may not pass away, except I drink it. Oh, Lord, if there's no other way except I go through this trial, then thy will be done. And the third time, he just prays the same thing again. Lord, if there's any way, my Father, to get me out of what I view as a terrible situation. You see, here is the sinless one who knew no sin, who is about to take on him my sin. And that would be bad enough. But it wasn't just mine. It was yours and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours. I think my sin's bad. He who knew no sin, who dwelt in perfect, sinless righteousness from all eternity, is about to jump into my sewer and take upon him the sins of all the elect. We can't imagine how horrible, putrid that was for the sinless Son of God. Father, if there's any other way, but not my will, but thy will be done. That is the example of perfect trust in the Father. And folks, we face situations that to us are deplorable and horrible. And we plead before God, God, get me out of this. But we trust him to do what is perfect rather than what we want. We trust him to do what is perfect rather than what is easier for me. If we ask anything, forgetting all the nonsense that the world may want, if we ask anything, a reasonable request, and ask it according to his will, he heareth us. But the Luke passage, turn over to Luke 22. The Luke passage, Luke brings in another element that Matthew does not. And it's very important to understand this. And this is the heart of the message, folks. What's it mean to pray according to God's will? In Luke 22 and verse 41, this is still in the garden. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeling down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Luke brings in the element that as Christ is praying, there is an angel there with him. Now, folks, this is very important. Because we read in Hebrews 1, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Folks, when we are in those most agonizing prayers, when we know not what to pray for as we ought, when we are pleading before God with mountain needs and praying for His will, the angels attend us. We may not see their presence. If we do, we had bad chili. It doesn't say that we'll feel their presence. But we have the assurance that His angels are given charge over His people.
That's right.
And they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them that shall be the heirs of faith. Mm-hmm. And folks, I know some of the burdens on this congregation. And I know they're very heavy. And I know there are those of this congregation that have pled before the throne of God with tears. God, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But not my will, but thine be done. God's angels attend those prayers. Remember when Daniel was praying for the interpretation of the dream in Daniel 10 and verse 12? And an angel came to him in Daniel 10 and 12. And then he, that's the angel, said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come forth at thy word. Daniel, from the first day that you prayed, your words were heard. Isaiah 65, verse 24. And the angel says, Daniel, I'm come forth. I'm come forth because of those prayers that you have prayed, sweating great drops of blood. Yeah. That you prayed earnestly before the throne. Yeah. Praying, Lord, this is killing me. This is tearing me up. But Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And then again, we find the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 9. And Paul says there, if you want to turn, you're welcome to. I'll give you a moment because it's good to see these verses. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Paul says there in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I sought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. You see a pattern there? Christ prayed three times. Paul's praying three times. And that doesn't mean we pray three times and quit. But there's a pattern here. For this thing I sought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. There's the will of the Lord. Paul's saying, Lord, I have this thorn in the flesh. Lord, I could be a better evangelist. Lord, I could plant more churches. Lord, I could visit more cities. Lord, I could write more letters. Lord, there's so many good things I could do if you would just take away this thorn in the flesh. But God's answer was according to God's will. And God's answer to Paul was, no, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to leave it there. But my grace is sufficient. And so we find not only that angels attend prayers according to God's will, but God's grace comes through prayers according to God's will. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, God says, is made perfect in weakness. God's strength is made perfect. God's strength is brought to completion. God's strength is brought to its most beautiful point when it's made perfect in my weakness. When God applies his strength to my weakness, God is glorified rather than the weak servant. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Lord, you didn't answer the prayer the way I wanted, but I thank you for not answering the prayer the way I wanted, because your will was done. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Our Heavenly Father will not give us a stone when we ask for bread. Our Heavenly Father will not give us a serpent when we ask for a fish. Our Heavenly Father will not give us a scorpion when we ask for an egg. Our Heavenly Father is all wise and all knowing. He's Alpha and the Omega. He knows the end from the beginning. And our Heavenly Father will do his will in us and will be glorified. And when our Heavenly Father does his will in us and is glorified, the answer that we received is better than the answer we wanted. That is trust in God. And so we've seen that this is the confidence, the boldness, the freedom that we have in him, not in any other. If we ask, ye have not because ye ask not. Anything according to his will. Number five, he heareth us. He heareth us. He heareth us. Psalm 135, verse 15. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not, neither is there any breath in their mouth. They that might make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in him, in them. In 1 Kings 18, we find the prophet of God, Elijah, on the mountain, and we find the prophets of Baal. And the prophets of Baal cried from morning until the noontime. And they cut themselves with knives, and they leaped upon the altar, and they cried, "Oh, Baal, hear us! Oh, Baal, hear us!" And it came to pass, when midday was past, that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice, nor any that answered, nor any that regarded. Nobody paid any attention to them! This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Folks, does it ever seem like God's not hearing your prayers? Oh, yes, it does. Mm-hmm. But this is the confidence we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears. He hears. Daddy, I want a huge chocolate bar this big and this thick.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Daddy, that's what I want. No, Billy. You need a tuna fish sandwich. But Daddy, I want chocolate. It'll make you sick. It's too much chocolate. You cannot handle that. You cannot stomach it. It's not good for you. Here's some bread and fish. Is that father being mean and cruel? No, that father's being smarter than the kid. Does the father not hear? No, he hears. I want a huge 10-pound chocolate bar. But no. No, what you need is a fish sandwich. It'll fill your belly. It'll give you vitamins and nutrition. It'll help you grow strong. And it won't rot your teeth. Folks, this is the confidence we have in Christ. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that if he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. But I didn't get the Corvette. I didn't get the big house. I didn't get the job. What do you mean I have the petition I ask of him? If you ask anything according to his will. You see, if we ask according to his will, then the answer that we get is according to his will. The answer that we get is according to the wisdom of God, whether it's the answer we wanted or not. The answer we get is the answer that was determined before all eternity, because we read there in Isaiah 65, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will hear. God heard my request before I prayed it. He knows what things I have need of before I asked. Before they call, I will hear, and while they are yet speaking, I will answer. And so indeed, the believer can pray for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Indeed, the believer can pray when riches increase, set not thy heart upon them. Indeed, the believer can pray, not my will, but thine be done. Because as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Having food and raiment, therewith be content. And so, yes, Lord, help me on this test. Lord, help me to remember the things I've studied. Help me to do well. Help me to get an A. But Lord, if a C is my best work and what you ordained for me to have, give me grace to take a C. Lord, if I had that job, I could provide better for my family. I could work less hours. I could give more to the Lord's work. Lord, this job just seems a perfect fit. But I may come into contact with unbelievers in that job. I may be tempted to evil in that job. That job may take me away from the place of worship. Lord, here it is, and you know I want it. But not my will, but thine be done. And folks, we can take every circumstance and situation of our lives, everything we pray for, and we can put it into that context in one shape, fashion, or another. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that if we hear, he heareth us. We know that we have the petitions. There's an S on the end of the word petition. The petitions that we desire of him. Let us stand for prayer. Father, bless your word to our understanding and our edification this day. O Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray according to thy will. And teach us to know that your will is best, even when we don't understand. We pray this in Jesus' name.